We'll begin reading today in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, and we'll read down through to the end of the chapter in verse 14. So let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says that Jesus was called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In verse 11, you find that the writer shows that these Christians were lazy listeners. He says that he had many things to say about Jesus. There were many things that he would like to teach them about Jesus. But it was hard to explain these things to these Christians. Why? Why was it hard for the writer to say, I have a lot of things to talk to you about Jesus, but it's hard to do that? It was not because those things about Jesus were so complex that they couldn't understand them. It's not because they were not smart enough to understand these things that he wanted to explain. You see, the problem is not a problem of intelligence. It is a problem of their heart. He says these things about Jesus that he wanted to share with them were hard to be uttered. That is, they were hard to explain because these people were dull of hearing. And the word dull means to be slow or sluggish or lazy. As a matter of fact, the only other time that you find this word in the New Testament is in Hebrews 6, verse 12, and there it's translated slothful or lazy. So these people were lazy about learning. They were lazy in their listening. He says that they were dull or slow or sluggish or lazy in listening. Now remember that he's already warned them not to be hardened in their heart. Remember back in chapter 3 and chapter 4, several times he told them, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That was the problem that he was beginning to deal with here. And this, of course, is the problem many times in the Bible. It's the same problem that Jesus ran into many times. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that the heart of those people had become hardened, and their ears were dull of hearing, and their eyes they had closed. Matthew 13, verse 15. In John 8, verse 43, Jesus said, why can you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now, this is the same problem that we oftentimes find today. Even people who hear the word sometimes don't even listen to it. They don't think about it. They don't take it to heart. They hear the words with their ears, but they really don't listen. Some people hear a sermon, and they don't really learn anything. And again, in this book, remember in chapter 4, verse 2, that the writer said that unless you hear the word in faith, unless faith is mixed with the hearing of the word, then it's not going to do any good. Another passage that really sheds light on what we're looking at here is James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, where James said, to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But then he goes on to say, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. These Christians in Hebrews 5, verse 11, were dull of hearing the Bible. They were dull of hearing the truth. And sometimes that happens in the church today. Now, in verse 12, he goes on and elaborates on what he's just said. He said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. They should have been teaching other people. but they needed to be taught again themselves. Notice that he says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." He says, you've had enough time. You've been Christians long enough that you should be teaching other people. Now, this shows that God expects us to grow. God expects us to learn. God expects us to develop. We should know more, and we should believe stronger as time passes in our Christian life. But there's some Christians that don't. They don't apply themselves. And so they stagnate. And they stay children in the faith. And even worse than that, some people even go backwards. So the writer says, you've had enough time in the Christian life that you should have grown into being teachers of God's Word. But the way it turns out, you need somebody to come back and teach you again. They needed to be taught again. This means they were not even using what they knew in the beginning. And he gets on to these people. He rebukes them and tells them that they needed to be taught again. Now, all of us need to be reminded. There's nothing wrong with going back to the most basic truths of Christianity and re-examining those truths, because we can learn different aspects and applications of anything in the Bible. All of us need those reminders. The Bible tells us that in many places, especially 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 14, where Peter says, I'm going to continually remind you of these things, even though you know them. But these people that he's talking to in Hebrews chapter 5 didn't just need reminding. They needed to be taught and instructed all over again. How sad. And how does this happen? Well, it happens because Christians get disinterested. It happens because Christians grow weak. It happens because Christians have their mind on the world and their sword, that is the sword of the Spirit, gets dull. They even needed to be taught again, he says, the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles refer to the basics, the most elementary truths of the Christian faith. Now, this would be like a person that has gone through years and years of school to have to start all over again in kindergarten. Can you imagine how embarrassing and how humiliating it would be if a person has gone through years and years of school to have to go back and sit in a class where a teacher says, I'm going to teach you the ABCs. I'm going to teach you the alphabet. Or to have to sit in a class where the teacher says, I'm going to teach you today how to add one and one. One plus one equals, and we're going to figure that out. How embarrassing. How needless. Well, you see, these Christians had forgotten the basics. Now, what those basics are, he's going to explain to us in the first few verses of chapter 6. But for right now, let's notice in the last part of verse 12 that he says these people had become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. They were babies in the Lord instead of adults. Now, this is a simple and a common illustration in the Bible. The Bible says in John 3, verse 5, that we are born of water and of the Spirit, and in that way we're born again. We then are babes or babies in Christ. We're new converts. And 1 Peter 2, 2 says that we ought to desire the milk so that we can grow. But in time, a child should move on to eating solid food. And if a child can't do that, we know that something is wrong. Over in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul said that the church at Corinth could not take meat. They were still on the milk of the Word. They could not withstand the meat of the Word because they were carnal, because they were worldly. And that kept them from being able to take in the meat of the Word. Well, this was the problem in Hebrews 5, verse 12. He said, you're still on the milk of the Word and not the meat of the Word. And it was not just because of worldliness in their situation in the book of Hebrews, but it was also because of their tradition and the family pressure and the Jewish state and the stubbornness of these people. A person who is on milk, the very basics, he says in verse 13, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word unskillful means inexperienced. It means that he is unacquainted with it. If a person is going to teach the Bible, he needs to know more than just a few basics. He needs to be grounded in them, and then he needs to grow. And of course, that takes time, and it takes a lot of effort. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And some bad things can happen when a person tries to teach some of the meat of the word when he's really not grounded and when he's really not advanced. And that's what the Bible says that some people do with the scriptures. They twist them to their own destruction because they're unstable and they're unlearned. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. But he says that strong meat belongs to them who are of full age. Now, what is the difference, or what are the differences between the milk of the word and the meat of the word? Well, one of the differences is that there are some parts of the Bible that take more effort to understand. There are some passages that are somewhat easy to understand. When you read the book of Acts, that's a book that is easier to understand, let's say, than the book of Revelation or the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. So we might say that one difference is that the meat of the word can be harder to understand, or at least takes more effort to understand than the milk. But another difference is that the meat of the word is sometimes harder to practice than the milk of the word. Now, for instance, most people don't find it hard to accept John chapter 3, verse 16 in the Bible. But when you come to a passage like Matthew 10, 34 through 37, where the Bible says that sometimes you have to choose between following Christ and following your family. Now, that takes more sacrifice and that takes more effort, and I believe that that's a good example of the meat of the word. Now, notice carefully what he says about mature Christians in Hebrews 5, verse 14, in the last part of this verse. He says that mature Christians are those who, by reason of use or habit, have their senses, that is, their moral senses, their moral faculties, exercised to discern both good and evil. This is a statement that is absolutely packed with meaning. Notice, first of all, that he says that you have to use what you know. We must put the Bible into practice. We must use the Bible. Otherwise, it's useless to save us, and it's useless to improve your spirit. But not only do we have to practice it, we must practice it until it becomes habit, until it becomes second nature. So we have to pray and read our Bible and go to church until those become habits. We have to watch our language. We have to watch our words and stay away from gossip and profanity and lying because those are habits. And we have to take on new habits like telling the truth and saying good things and staying quiet when we need to. Resisting sin, refusing to think about bad things, doing good to others and showing kindness, staying in a positive frame of mind, seeking first the kingdom of God, all these are habits. And the more you do this, the better you'll be able to tell the difference between good and bad, because you'll have your moral faculties, your conscience, your will, your self-control, your judgment. These moral faculties will have been trained or exercised. The word exercised here comes from the word from which we get our word gym or gymnasium. So there's an exercising of our moral senses, and the longer and the more we do that, the more we'll be able to discern, that is, tell the difference between good and bad, right and wrong. And so mature Christians have put the doctrine of Christ into practice, and they have developed keen moral senses to enable them to know right from wrong.